If you would, please open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to welcome all of you here for this worship service that we've been engaged in to offer songs of worship and praise to God our Father. If you're visiting with us, we're grateful that you've chosen to be with us because we know already that you have an interest in spiritual things and that you cherish the Word of God, and you know that His Word is for all of us, and we're grateful that you've chosen to be with us this morning, so thank you for that. I want to start with a question for us all, and that is, has anyone ever done anything to you in your life where you thought to yourself, I can't forgive this one? Has anyone ever so wronged you? Maybe even you could see the plotting and the planning that led to this act, sinful act against you, that someone enjoyed watching you suffer because of what they inflicted or what they've done to you. And I'm not talking about brother and sister stuff. That happens every day. I'm talking about somebody who really deeply hurt you. It's important for us to acknowledge those moments in our lives and to look to the Word of God and to know what it is that He would have us to do. Because if you live very long, it will happen at some level, to some degree, to each one of us. And we will be forced to answer the question in our own lives, what am I going to do with this? Many of us have been cut and hurt deeply in our lives, and those things are very serious to us. I want to share something with you that I think helps me quite a bit when I think about these topics, and that is that when I reflect back to the American Civil War, a time far different than ours, the way people live from day to day, far different than what we know and understand. When you built a house, you probably built it yourself with your own hands and maybe the help of some friends in your small town. You took pride in the things that you dedicated your life to. You took pride in being able to provide for your families, to take care of those who were around you. You honored other people's property. You respected others in a way that you should and probably could be found in the Scriptures. There's no question that the American Civil War left a tragic aftermath of bitterness, hatred, and resentment. The Civil War was this country against this country, and that creates an aftermath of bitterness, hatred, and resentment. The wounds inflicted in that war were deep and painful, there's no doubt. These emotions continued long after the war officially ended. Many could not forget the blood that was spilled, and I understand why. And they could not forgive those who spilled it. In the minds of most men, the war continued long after Robert E. Lee surrendered on April 9, 1865. After the war, Lee had made up his mind that he would not condone this terrible bitterness. He saw the bitterness in the South towards those in the North, and he told himself at some point, I'm not going to partake in this. He urged reconciliation between the North and the South because he knew that the war was over and that the future of the nation demanded an attitude for a new day. To be wrapped up in that bitterness and the anguish, he was in charge of that, the South, as they marched onward. He was defeated. He's the one that lost that battle and finally surrendered. He decided in his life, I'm not going to be bitter about that. This nation as a whole must move forward. I'm bringing all this up because in Charles Bracelin Flood's book, Lee, the Last Years, there's a story in that book about an encounter that General Robert E. Lee experienced with a woman in Kentucky who lived in a stately home not far from where he lived. After accepting her invitation to visit, General Lee arrived at her home where she showed him the remains of a grand old tree. It was obvious that the tree held great sentiment and great sentimental value to her. She cried bitterly as she described how the tree had been destroyed by Union artillery fire. She expected the general to sympathize with her and condemn the North for all the atrocities that they had committed. But instead, Lee just looked at the tree and he quietly said to her, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it." As much pain as was tied into that, it took great courage for him to be the leader of the defeated army, to say to her, knowing and understanding that that artillery fire raged upon them and upon the territory in which he lived, that is past, and there's nothing we can do about it. Cut it down and forget it. We are supposed to have the courage within ourselves as Christians to forgive. And God has given us incentive to forgive because he has forgiven us. It's very interesting when you look at the New Testament that we see that there are many passages that show us that in the forgiveness we've received from God, we are to turn and to offer that same forgiveness to others. Now, I want to say to all of you, I realize that each one of us has been slighted, we've been hurt, and we've been wronged by others. But if we hold on to all those moments in our lives and allow the root of bitterness to spring up within us, we become defiled, and we've poisoned our own lives in that process. Past losses, defeats, and failures can cause us to give up on life and living and it chains us to the past. And so we want to be able to file those things away where they should be in the appropriate file so that we can move forward, so that we can know how much control do I have over this? Is there anything I can do or should do to cause whoever sinned against me to repent? Because I should. The Bible's clear about that. What about the things that have been done wrong to us? Maybe someone's hurt you that has long since passed. Are you still bitter towards them? Are you excited to think about the fact that they may have not have made it into heaven? Those things are only troubling to you now, and they're going to hold you back in a life that you should live to glorify God. I ask you to turn to Hebrews 12. If you look down at verse 14 with me, we'll see a passage here. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many have become defiled." See what happens there when we allow bitterness to creep into our lives and into our hearts, that we just decide in my heart I'm going to be hardened toward this person and I want to see them be destroyed, or I can't wait to see the day that they breathe their last because I'm going to be there. Those kind of statements, that kind of thought, that we are not looking carefully to make sure that we don't fall short of the grace of God. God has forgiven us of our trespasses and our sins. We just talked about the sins which we've committed that have been forgiven by God himself. And I want us to think about that this morning. This idea, just think about that we've been forgiven so that we can forgive. That this precious gift was handed to me so that I could share it. And that's a fantastic idea. I want to submit to you too that in this next passage that I have in Matthew chapter 6, this is going to say forgive to be forgiven. But there's a concept here and there's a principle that we don't want to ignore. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Jesus has just finished praying. And it's a public prayer. He says in verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Pray like this. And he gives them the words of this prayer, often referred to as the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer. But it's interesting, after all that he prays for to God the Father, that in verse 14 he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So there's the other side of it, that we forgive men their trespasses so that we would be forgiven by our Father. It points perfectly towards us to show that you've made some mistakes yourself. You've sinned against a holy and perfect God, and you need forgiveness. You need mercy, and you need grace. Every one of us do. But if I'm going to expect, anticipate, or even be willing to ask, or be able to ask for forgiveness from my Father, I must demonstrate that I too can forgive. "If you do not forgive your fellow man his trespasses, neither will my Father or our Father forgive you your trespasses." So it must take place. In Matthew chapter 18, if you look there with me, in verse 21, see the Apostle Peter walking up to the Lord, and it says, Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And by the way, that's a big number. How many times? Because Peter wants a number. At what point can I stop forgiving my brother? Jesus said to him, here's the answer. How many times? Here's the answer. I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, that his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not. He went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, or what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. And his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, to each of you, from his heart, if he does not forgive his brother his trespasses. It begins with a question from the Apostle Peter. How many times do I need to forgive my brother? And so Peter gives him the number 7. Maybe that's the number of completeness. That should be sufficient. I've shown patience certainly through this period of 7 offenses that have been caused against me. And Jesus says, no, it's not 7. It's 70 times 7. And we often joke about that Peter, you know, pulls out his calculator and he's like, man, so that's 490. That's not the answer either. It is be patient with your fellow man and forgive your fellow man because we need that forgiveness as well. We've been forgiven. Those of us who have turned to God in repentance and confession of Jesus Christ, we've been baptized in baptism and in faithful obedience to God. We rise up new creatures. We are assured by the Word of God that we are forgiven of all things. And I see people who wrestle with that and they're challenged by that. And they still wonder if God could have forgiven that one thing, whatever that is, because they know they've done it and they feel the conviction and the guilt in their life, which is very real for them. Was that just washed away in the water? Well, this is the God who we serve. He says, if you're faithful and obedient to the things I've given you to do, you are entirely forgiven. I have chosen to blot them out from my memory and from my mind. They are no longer remembered. And we don't like that very much when it's our turn to forgive. What do we say to people? Let's say we're getting pretty good at this forgiveness thing and we're going to try the 70 times 7 and someone keeps sinning against us and so we say, okay, well, I'm going to draw a line and I'm going to say this. I'm going to forgive you because I need God's forgiveness. But I ain't forgetting. You ain't pulled the wool over anybody's eyes. I know who you are. I know how dangerous you are. I know how wicked you are. I forgive you because God's making me. But I ain't forgetting. In other words, don't come near me again. I'm watching you. I'm not your friend. Is that forgiveness? Is that what we want and expect from God? Certainly not. We appreciate the thought that he would blot it out, that it would no longer be remembered. And so I have got to strive to be like him. I need that forgiveness from him. And so guess what? We're all going to be tested. That's how this life works. There's so many people in this world who have their own agendas and things they're trying to accomplish. There's so many myriads of reasons for someone to hurt you, to put you down, or to make sure you look plenty bad so that they look plenty good for the right moment. And you're going to be a victim of that in some point in your life, if not already. And so the test will be set before us. The challenge. I want to be a dear child of God, and I want to be just like God. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. I want to imitate God as his dear child. That means being like him. So that means when somebody absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, stabs me in the back with their sharp tongue and tears me down and says things about me that are not true, slanders my name, that I've got to be ready. I've got to be eager and willing to forgive such a person who would do such an awful thing. Because if I think hard enough and long enough, I'm no better. I've done it too. I've got work I need to do. Maybe I can take this lesson, this painful lesson, and say, I'm not going to be that person anymore. This hurts. It hurts worse than I thought it did. It doesn't go away. It's been 3 weeks. It's still bothering me. It's changed my life. Someone has hurt me and injured me in a way that I don't think I can recover from. What am I going to do? Well, I can learn from it. And I can say, I will never be that person. Help me to grow, dear God, from this painful incident. And Father, forgive them. They don't fully understand what they're doing or the damage they've caused. Is that inside of me? Is that inside of you? To say, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. But I thank you, God, that I do. And I've been given an opportunity to forgive my fellow man. Give me the grace, the wisdom, and the strength to say, cut it down and forget it. Sometimes we talk about our brethren and the way we interact with one another. I just want to share a simple passage with you in Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. It's one verse, but we can see the idea here. Romans 15 and verse 7 says, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another. These are brethren, members of the Lord's church. Receive one another, just as Christ also received us. Well, he received us through forgiveness. We've been brought into the body of Jesus Christ because we've been forgiven. And so how can I receive a brother that I have aught against? I have a brother that I can't wait to pay back for whatever he did to me. I got a serious problem here. The scriptures command me to receive one another, to receive each one of you, even as Christ has received me. And why did he do that? All for the glory of God. Jesus Christ received us through forgiveness, through his own blood, to glorify God. And so when I forgive, when I muster up the courage and the confidence in the word of God to say, I am going to forgive, I'm going to do what God has told me to do, that I don't tie strings to that, that I don't say, okay, God, I'm doing it, but you better see this through. I better get what I want out of this. That's not how that works. Jesus Christ poured out everything in order to receive us, in order to glorify God. When we forgive our brethren, it is for the glory of God. It's not for your glory. It's not so that you can say, I graduated from the forgiveness class. I'm forgiving everybody. I got it. Where's my award? You don't get your reward from men. You've glorified God. You've heard what he's saying to you, and you are moving in a way that he's told you to move. It's not about what happens here on the earth. I want to be faithful to God. I want to go to heaven. Somebody may hurt me and injure me deeply, but God, he has the vengeance. He'll see all that through the way he determines to be right. And it will be right. It'll always be right. My way's never right. Whatever I dream up to hurt that person who's hurt me is not right. It's not appropriate to God. I'm not the judge. I'm not the one who lays out vengeance on those who have wronged me. If I bear up under that tribulation, it is the righteousness of God that's revealed in me so that when he deals with those who fight God's people, it will all be done justly, according to the will of God, not to mine. I am to bear up under that and to see through what God has given me to do. Do I receive the brethren the way Christ received me? That is an important question for us today. Is there anyone in this room that you know to be a member of the church that you can't talk to? That you can't sit down with and say something personal to them? Do you expect Christ to hear you when you speak personally to him? That he would receive you because you're troubled by this? Maybe you're in the middle of a terrible sin and you want to confess this to the Lord? Do you expect him to receive you and to hear you out? To hear one more time that you're going to say, I'm sorry. I know we've been over this before. This time I mean it. I'm sorry. I don't want your blood to be seen as a common thing. Please, Lord, hear my prayer. Do we expect him to hear us? Why? Why would he listen to us? How many times are we going to trample him under our feet and him still receive us? That is the love, the grace, and the mercy of God, and the mercy of Jesus Christ our Savior. He does hear us. He is longing to hear us repent and to turn away from wickedness. Why shouldn't I be that same person to my brother? We cannot leave here. I'm telling you right now, we cannot leave here with an issue with brethren. Have the courage to do what you need to do. I am not saying to each one of you that, well, you just got to forgive. Just let it go. Yes, we should forgive, but sometimes your brother needs to be challenged and needs to be corrected because you love them. Matthew chapter 18 says that if your brother sins against you, take the offense to him so that you can have that discussion, so that he can hear you and repent. If he doesn't listen, bring two or three witnesses, and maybe he'll hear them. If he doesn't hear them and repent, take it to the church. There is a process that Christians go through to make things right before God so that God would be glorified. There are too many of us who have grudges against someone that we should have never held on to. How can I feel that I have the higher ground holding a grudge against someone who doesn't even know that I'm still mad at them? But I'm better than they are because they wronged me. And I'm going to cross my arms. I'm not talking to my brother. Well, what's heaven going to be like with you and that brother in heaven? You still going to be there over in the corner, crossing your arms? Or will it have gone away? The question is, when will it go away? The answer is, now. Because I can't wait to forgive someone who's hurt me, to show the love of God in my life. And because I love you and I know the value of your soul. And so I'm going to talk to you about that. We're going to have a conversation. But it's always, always because I love you. Not because I want to watch you cry or because I want to hear you say you're sorry. And I'll say, I don't believe you. Say it again. None of that's going to happen from me. Because I love you. Because God loves me. And he's accepted me. And he's heard me. He's forgiven me. Do what you need to do. Follow what the scriptures teach. It's very simple. What is it? What's in the way? How come you won't? If you're saying to me right now, I'm not doing that, you better answer to the Lord why. You better know what the answer is. Because mercy is given to those who show mercy. Mercy always triumphs over judgment. You may be as right as rain, but God tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment. We need to take that seriously because we want mercy extended to us. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30, beautiful passage for us to live our lives by. I want 29 too. Let's go to 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Speak with grace, seasoned with salt, so that those who hear your words would have grace imparted to them. Speak in a way that would edify and strengthen your brethren. Colossians chapter 3 is our final verse this morning that I have for us. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Paul has already told the brethren in the church in Colossae that they have put on the new man, that they have all been renewed in knowledge according to the image of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another brother or sister in Christ, well, even as Christ has forgiven you, so you must do also. The way we should look at each other as brethren is that when I look to you and you look to me, is that you always see someone who is eager and anticipating the opportunity to forgive. I am always eager and anticipating the opportunity to forgive you your trespass, and you the same for me. Now, as I said, it is not a blanket forgiveness that as you sin continually against God first and foremost and against me, that I just keep forgiving. It is that if I see this sin and I know that you are at odds with God, you're at enmity with God by your behavior, that I would come to you and speak the truth in love, the bond of perfection, so that you would know my care for you, that you would know what the truth says about these particular issues, and so that you would turn back to the true and living God, and then we'll be saved together. I can't hold against you. I can't. I'm not going to. I am eager and anticipating, always eager and anticipating the opportunity to forgive. If there are any issues this morning in this local church that you're aware of, make it your job to do what God has called you to do. Let us receive one another even as Christ has received us. We can help you in any way. We want you to come forward now while together we stand and sing.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord.